Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
So we're continuing our Get in the Game series where we've been talking about serving others, serving the church, the universal church, our local church, and then serving individuals outside of the church. The first week we looked at, if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, he says you must first deny yourself, carry your cross, and then follow me. Then we looked, if we're going to be great, Jesus says the greatest of you must also be the servant. And then we looked that we're all part of one body with different roles and different functions. And then last week we looked at that our faith, without works to go with it, without that fruit, is dead. And today I want to talk to you about something that I believe wholeheartedly. I want to talk to you about following Jesus is a contact sport. Since it's a football joke, get it? If you got to explain the joke, it's no good. Matthew chapter 25, page 807 in the Pew Bible. We're going to start with verse 31. If you can and are able, I invite you to stand as we proclaim and read the gospel this morning. Following Jesus is a contact sport. Verse 31 says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all His angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate people one from another, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep on His right hand and the goats at His left. Then the King will come to and say to those on His right hand, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit my kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food? Or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you as a stranger and welcomed you? Or naked and gave you clothes? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and we visited or cared for you? And the King will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, you that are accursed, depart from me into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. I was naked and you did not give me clothes. I was sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did not do it for one of the least of these, you did not do it unto me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated and please join me in prayer. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you. Lord, may your words be proclaimed. May they comfort. May they challenge. And may they convict. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to tell you about little Johnny. Little Johnny made the football team. And he was real proud. He got his jersey and all the girls started paying more attention to him in the hallway. Little Johnny was super proud. He showed up to practice every day. And he got home, and his parents would ask how practice went. He was, oh, it was good. It was good. It was good. And on game day, he would stand there with the uniform on. And after the game, his jersey looked the same as it did when he ran out there. Y'all know what that means? He didn't play. Let me tell you why little Johnny's mama thought he didn't play because the coach didn't like him. Let me tell you why little Johnny really didn't play. Because when it came time on Monday to do the contact drills, little Johnny hid in the back. You see, everybody wants to be on the team. Everybody wants the cool equipment. Everybody wants the jersey and the wristbands and the pads and all the cool gear. But very few people want to do the contact drills. Playing football, you could always tell who wanted to hit and who wanted to hide. And coaches would finally say, nope, get up here. And that kid would go one time, and then he'd catch a cramp, or he'd have to go use the bathroom. I mean, people would come up with the craziest excuses to get out of contact. Love the jersey, but hate the contact. I think, sadly, too many of our churches, too many of our Christians, and hear me, too many of our pastors, we love calling ourselves the church, but we don't like the contact. I'll amen myself on that one. I'm going to preach good today whether y'all want me to or not. Following Jesus is a contact sport. And I want you to hear the words of our Savior. I want you to hear the contact that takes place in today's scripture. He said, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothes. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. Do you see that every need that Jesus lists involves contact with a person, and it also involves meeting a need of some kind? See, we can't meet the needs of other people without making contact with people. You can't hide in the back of the drill hoping that you never get found, sitting, let me come over here, this is my sheep section over here, isn't it? Depends on which way the king's standing in. I'm going to let Jesus sort that one out. I'm not even going to get into it. But this week, I was listening to a conference that I didn't get to go to for a variety of different reasons. But one of the speakers' names, her name is Christine Kane. She's from Hillsong Church in Australia. Some of you probably have no idea what that is, but that's a big deal. It's a huge church that's been experiencing an ongoing revival for decades. And they've produced a lot of popular modern Christian songs out of that church. She started her ministry with a nonprofit designed at stopping the sex trafficking trade in Europe and Australia. And we didn't think it would ever be a problem here. And now it's a problem here. But here's what she said. She said that she felt led one time to go to Florence, Italy with her husband. She felt led to go to the most beautiful place, right? And she was visiting one of these nice, big, huge cathedrals that is now a museum, a monument. And you can even go up to the very top, pay like $5, and you can go up and you can see the best views of all of Florence. You can take a picture up there. And she said when she got up there, she started weeping. And her husband said, what is wrong? I mean, it's beautiful, but like, get yourself together. She said, this was not the purpose of this building. She said, I guarantee you 200 years ago, 400 years ago, the people that placed this building here to reach the lost for Jesus Christ had no intentions of us paying $5 to take a pretty picture. But that's what happens when you lose contact with the people around you. What happens is churches end up closing or getting replaced. How many of you ever go to Walmart in Spartanburg? Okay, the rest of us don't want to admit it. How many of you have at least one time in your life told somebody, that's where Dorman High School used to be, right? What Walmart you going to? Oh, the one where Dorman used to be. That's why they even call it the Dorman Center, don't they? Things can be replaced. And if we're not busy doing God's work, if we're not busy becoming and making disciples, how sad would it be in 200 years if the Walmart or Dollar General sat on this piece of property? It happens all over the world. We're not immune to it. We're protected from it. But we're not immune to it. You see, what happened is churches have lost their passion for people Jesus is passionate about. We actually avoid the people Jesus went to. We've gotten pretty good in the Western church, and by that I mean Europe and America, at gathering people on the team and doing things amongst ourselves that make us feel real good. But that wasn't the purpose when this church was built. That wasn't the purpose when this church was at the other location before it burned. The purpose was to reach a community for Jesus Christ. The least and the lost. So I want to tell you a little secret. At some point in your life, you've been the least and you've been the lost. You may not want to admit it because it's probably a difficult memory. But at some point in your life, you have felt like you didn't matter to anybody else. You might have been hungry, you might have been thirsty, you might have been in physical need, it might have been emotional need, it might have just been spiritual need. But every single one of us has been the least or the lost at some point in our lives. And Jesus looked down on us with compassion because he knew that even in your state of brokenness, even in your state of being far away from him, his blood was shed for you. And maybe today you're saying, "Preacher, I think I know where you're going. You're telling us to go and serve the lost, the least of these, but I'm the least of these right now. And I'm stuck here. And where is God in this?" Hear this, because Jesus loves you so incredibly much that he's going to get you through what you think you're stuck in. And then your wounds are going to become scars that will be a testimony for his glory for somebody else. Your struggles will be the key to somebody else's freedom not too long from now. You used to say that, take it to the bank. Because it's as good as a cash check. Because he's making a way where there is no way. Very insignificant part of this story touched me this week. Did you notice that even the group, well, this is the good group over here. Even the group that did all the things right, they responded to Jesus by going, "When did we do those things?" Then the group over here that didn't do anything right, they responded with, "When did we never do anything right?" You see, I think there's beauty in that because those that did those things, they didn't know they did them. It just was part of who they were. They were so ingrained with living out their faith that it was just who they are. How beautiful would it be for somebody to one day come up to you and said, "You don't know this, but you were Jesus to me in my hardest time, and you don't even remember what you did for him. It was just who you are. You just care so much about growing in grace and becoming more like Christ that you impact people and don't even know you impact them." How cool would that be? It'd be pretty cool, Andrew. I can talk to myself. So I want to clarify what I'm... Here's what I'm not saying, okay? I'm not telling you to go out and be a crutch and be taken advantage of. You see, I enjoyed contact when I played football, as long as I was bigger than the person. And I was bigger than most of them. But occasionally I played a fella, he was bigger than me. And I think God made me smart enough to figure out another way. I was only going, once I hit him one time and it hurt, I wasn't going to hit him again. I was going to fall down in front of him and trip him up or something. That's the truth. You got to be smart or you're going to get yourself hurt. I just finished reading a book for a class called When Helping Hurts. And do you know that you can actually become such a band-aid that you actually make the problem worse? So we got to be smart with how we help. We can't just be careless. And I'm not asking you to go out and do anything that would put you or your family in danger. But here's what I am telling you. I'm telling you that Jesus calls us to make contact with people that we want to avoid. That Jesus is calling us to make a difference, to meet a need, and to love the least and the lost. And He is calling us to change the world at a little Methodist church who had 24 kids up front this morning. You know the best way to teach them about reaching the least and the lost? Go meet the least and the lost. That's how they'll learn. We can tell them all day, but you go out and show them. So how do we do this? It's very hard. Right now you're thinking, I don't know how I can. I'm paycheck to paycheck. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to help people. I can't do much. That's why we're here as a body of Christ. And that's why it's very important. I want you to hear this. That's why it's very important, if you're a member of this church, to faithfully support this church with your giving. Because together, when you give, we can fund the ministries that will reach the least and the lost. But here's some things that we do as a United Methodist Church that I feel like are important to mention. Because at the very beginning of all this, all these little Methodist revival towns were connected to each other, right? And the pastor, preacher got on the horse and he rode. That would be so cool. I lived in the wrong generation. But so they started working together on things. So one of the big ways that we can help the least of these, especially right now, we've done this several times, is through the United Methodist Committee on Relief, also known as UMCOR. They're the ones that we fix those buckets for. Remember the buckets we fix? And they take those buckets and they go clean the houses in these areas that are flooded. Because, see, very few of us have the schedule, the training, or the resources to go clean up Nichols, South Carolina right now, do we? But this group does. So we send them the supplies they need. And we're making a difference in an area we'll never know. We made a difference. That's why we do things for the Epworth Children's Home in Columbia, a Methodist children's home. That's why we participate in through our giving, through our apportionments, we support universities, Methodist universities that help with scholarships and stuff for kids who need help getting to school. That's why we help with Africa University, which has transformed a whole area of Africa because they've been able to finally get people secondary educations. And now they're sending those nurses and doctors and technicians back into their communities so that westernized mission trips don't have to go anymore. That's why we do things like the Imagine No Malaria. You wouldn't think that sending them a net would make a difference, but if it saved a child's life, we'll never know. But can we not celebrate that in heaven one day? Amen. Absolutely. Here's some more specific things we do at Emmanuel that we're focusing on right now. Is our Middle Tiger Community Center. That's where we're sending every donation that comes in food-wise. We don't even have anything that's in date at this church right this moment. I know. But they do. And that's why we're going to support them, because they're reaching the least of these. They're coming to them. That's why we've taken it and made it a priority to reach Welford Academy. Folks, if you ever get your background check, you got to do that. Go over there and just eat lunch one day and look at some of those children and you'll see they come from nothing. And you high five them and you're the first male that showed them any love in their entire life. And then when you tell them it's time for Christmas break and you won't be there next week, they cry. And the other thing we do, and we do this pretty well, is we're a bunch of generous and loving people. But I don't want us to rest on that. I don't want us to settle for that. So do you like looking good in the jersey? Are you willing to get in and do the contact? Have you ever seen a child or even some of you immature adults? You get glow-in-the-dark pajamas or something. Or y'all know what I'm talking about, shoelaces or something. Man, when a kid gets some glow-in-the-dark pajamas, they throw those things on and they stand around in the light and they want them. It doesn't light, does it? So what will they go do? They go get in the darkness just so they can see their light shine. Boy, that's going to preach itself. We don't need our light shining here, people. We need to go out into the darkness so that we can then see our light shine, so that we can then be reminded of what He has done for us. Then the righteous will answer Him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? Then they will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and we did not care for you? You're the only one that can control which question you have to ask Jesus. You're going to ask Him one of the two. But you're the only one that has control over that. Because His answer is going to be one of two things. Because you either did it for those I care about, and therefore you did it to me. Or you did not do it, and therefore you did not do it to me. So which will it be? Don't just be on this team here. Those shoulder pads will protect you. That helmet will protect you. Just put your mouthpiece in so you don't bite your tongue. But I hope and I pray that we're just a bunch of random people God put together who love making contact with the people that Jesus are passionate about. Because following Jesus was, is, and always will be a contact sport. Let's pray.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com, or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.